Thank you for listening to the radio program. It's brought to you by the members of the Main Street Church of Christ. We meet in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, 240 West Main Street. Our times of meeting are Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for a two-hour period of worship. And also we meet Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock for a Bible study. And you're invited to any of those services, or you can visit our website, mountsterlingchurch.com. On May 19th, the members of the Main Street Church are hosting a singing at Cane Ridge at 2 o'clock in the afternoon of May 19th. This will be our third annual singing, and we've had good attendance the first two, and we look forward to another group of people coming together who love to sing praises to our God, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's an encouraging and uplifting time, and if you'd like to sing, you're certainly welcome to come. Be with us, and we'll probably post some more later, but that right now is the plan, May 19th, 2 o'clock at Cane Ridge Shrine over in Bourbon County. We've been studying about prayer lately, and I'd like to consider what the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the second chapter we read. Paul says, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Two things to consider here. First of all, he says you need to make prayers for those who are in authority. And that would be anyone in a positions of authority, from the highest in the world, in our land, to the local officials, or anyone who is in a position of leadership where they have authority or power. And so one of the words that is used in the, I think it's in the Greek, is that another word for the authority was those who are in high position. If you've ever been in a high position, you are expected to make decisions. And you, if you're a good ruler, you make decisions based upon what is best for those who are under your leadership, under your authority. In the Roman letter, Paul says this about those in authority, chapter 13. "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. We need to realize that when Paul writes this, that the Romans are in control. They are in authority. And oftentimes it is so difficult because there is persecution of Christians at this time. The authorities today are in difficult position because their rulings, their decisions are so scrutinized by so many people because of the voices that are raised all over the world today with the social media. And so the goal, he says, is a tranquil and quiet existence. Peace would be really the absence of war. It would be the state where there is no disturbance in the sense that there is fighting and quarreling and confusion and chaos. There's a calmness or a peace that a Christian can have. And Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. He talks about the peace of God which passes understanding. And we can have that if we're Christians. He says this peace is not the peace that the world gives, but it's the peace of God. And it guards your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So to be in Christ Jesus will definitely be a blessing and a comfort to you. The Bible talks about the fact that we have a responsibility in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Christians are said to be peacemakers. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We can have this. Because, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So why is there so much confusion in religion today? It's not from God, because he is the author of peace, not of confusion. I want to talk about the fact that many of us have been blessed to live fairly peaceable lives. We live in a part of the world, in Kentucky, that for the most part has been spared some of the turmoil that has been in the world lately. The wars, and the protest, and just the general confusion that must be so difficult for especially young people to understand. Before I entered college, 1970, we were assigned some books to read over the summer. And one of them was called The Strawberry Statement. And it was written in 1968 by a student at Columbia University. And he talks about in the book some of the events that took place primarily in April of 1968, when there were protests on the campuses of Columbia University. And some students took over the office of the dean of Columbia University. What were they protesting? Well, there were several issues, but the primary one was this backlash about the United States' involvement in Vietnam. And one of the deans there spoke these words about what was taking place. This was what he said about the role of students. What's the role of a student in a university with the university policy? He said, student or faculty opinion should not in itself have influence on the formation of administration policy. The university is definitely not a democratic institution. Now, he did say that student opinions about university policy did matter. But if they are offered without reasoned explanations, then they mean no more to him than if a majority of the students like strawberries. That's why the title of the book, Strawberry Statement. You can read this. You can find it. What's happening in Columbia today, Columbia University? What's making the headlines this week? Student protest. There is a dissension, and it started, and it's been around for as long as anybody can go back in the page of history, between the Muslims and the Jews. Right now, it's the nation of Israel versus all of their neighbors around about them, especially Palestinians and Hamas, especially. How's it going to end? I don't know how that war is going to end. How's it going to end on college campuses? On May the 4th, I believe, 1970, at Kent State University, four demonstrators were killed by the Ohio National Guard. What's going to happen today? What about authority figures? What should they do? What's their position? Jesus would say, as he concluded to the apostles there in Matthew chapter 28, last few verses, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." And he commissioned them to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, he said, "You teach them to observe the things I have commanded you, and I will be with you, lo, always, even to the end of the world." Have we gotten to the point that we don't think about the authority of heaven any longer? We don't think about the power of Jesus any longer. The time that Jesus stood before Pilate, we have that recorded for us. And the conversation between Jesus and Pilate is recorded for us in John's Gospel. And Pilate is the governor. The Jews, the leaders of the Jews, wanted to put Jesus to death, but they did not have the authority to do that, because they were under Roman control, Roman occupation, and Pontius Pilate is the governor. And Jesus appears before Pilate on two occasions, I believe. And Pilate has found nothing wrong in John 19, verse 4. He said to the crowd, "Behold, I am bringing you out. I am bringing him out to you, that you may know I find no fault in him." This is verse 4 of John 19. Verse 5, "Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said to them, 'Behold the man.' Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate said to them, 'You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.' Therefore, when Pilate heard these sayings, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium, and said to Jesus, 'Where are you from?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, 'Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?' Jesus answered, 'You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin.'" Do we still believe that Jesus and his Father have all authority in heaven and in earth? Or have we reached the point where we don't even consider that? The leaders of the college campuses where riots and protests are taking place, what's their role? We need to keep in mind in the church is also not a democracy. Jesus is the King. He is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, we, as obedient subjects to the King, carry out the King's will as best we can. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds in college. Why in their passion are they so angry? Yes, there's a lot in this world that is wrong. We know that. And I don't know what it's like to be in Israel, in Palestine, in Gaza. I can't imagine it. And therefore, we ought to be so grateful that we live in a place where it is relatively peace and calm and quietness. There will be disturbances and things may change, but we need to keep in mind that we need to be peacemakers with all those that we can possibly influence. And it's the peace of God which passes understanding that we'd all like to have. Peace of mind. When we say to someone who has departed, rest in peace, that is our prayer. In fact, peace is the state that I think you'd like to have. I like to have. And this calmness, that we are not disturbed, that we're not agitated. There's no price to put on that if you have that calmness, especially the calmness from being at peace with God, having done His will as best you can, as best you understand it. And so what will happen? We do not know. But Paul said to Timothy, you pray for those in authority. You pray they will have the courage to do the right things. And we need to realize that all of us are under the authority of one who is above. And all of us will have to give an account at the day of judgment. And our prayer would be that we would hear the words, well done, good and faithful servants, enter into the joy of the Lord. And whatever talents He's given you, whatever blessings you've received, use them in His service. And therefore, you won't be as confused as a lot of people are out there. And I suppose that the reign of Solomon was the time of greatest peace and prosperity in all of Israel. If you want to read about that, you can go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 6 through 10. That must have been a wonderful time to live if you were an Israelite. For Christians, it's a wonderful time to be in Christ, where we have so much aid, so many blessings. And therefore, we're going to try to appreciate more and more the peace of God, which passes understanding. Appreciate your listening to the program for the Main Street Church of Christ. This is Gist Howell. Thank you.
begin to put my life together again. My world has crumbled all apart, and it's left me with this broken heart. But I know you know just what I'm going through. Yes, things look hopeless. I'm blessed because I still have you. So unfair, and I've lost what should have been even there. It doesn't make any sense. I love you, Lord, even then.
FM at AM 1150 WMST.